I tend to favor expository messages where I try to take the main points of the text out of one passage. Tonight, just kind of by necessity, is more of a topical message. So I think what we'll do is I'll get you to start with me in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Let's get started there. That's where we'll get in earnest. We've been revisiting our theme for the year on Vision Night: rise up and build. And we began by looking at Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 18, and we started out with the first half of that equation: rise up. Rise up. And we use the word elevate. Elevate. Rise up. We live in a culture of getting by and good enough. But Christians must be consumed with elevating for the cause of Christ. We must not be satisfied with good enough. We must constantly be striving to get to higher ground for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about three areas in which we need to elevate in our personal expectation. What do we expect of ourselves? Then, in our ministry health, we need to think higher about how high this church can go for the glory of God, and what role are we willing to play in that. And then we need to elevate our thinking in what we call God confidence. How big is your God? How much can He do? Can I give you a little spoiler? You can't elevate beyond what God can do. As high as you can think of Him, keep going. Keep going. And so we began with those thoughts, and then we started in last time on the idea of, how do we elevate our thinking? Well, I left out a whole bunch of points here. Anyway, well, let's see what's up here. I'll enjoy this with you. How about that? out of Nehemiah. First, we began with repentance. We talked about repentance. And then we talked about responsibility. And we talked about retreat. That doesn't mean to give up the fight and run away. It means to steal away with God and get your batteries recharged. And then we talked about removal. The hard thing about building the wall for Nehemiah was not the actual building. It was removing the old stuff so they could put down a new foundation. They built the wall in 52 days. Sometimes we have to remove stuff before we can get building new stuff. And then research. He probed and studied the situation. Reality. We got to be real about what's going on around us. And then reliance, complete and total reliance on God. Now tonight, we begin our thoughts on the subject of build. Rise up is to elevate, but now we talk about build and we use the word edify. Once we have the resolve to elevate where we are in life, we then begin the work of building. And we talked about three areas in which we need to build. And tonight we begin with the first one. Actually, it was more than three, I believe. We'll begin with the first one. That's the matter of personal construction. Building myself. Now, we understand theologically God's the one that does the building, but you know what we mean here. That we take responsibility to see ourselves be the Christians that we ought to be and build up ourselves. So let's get into that. Let's pray and ask God's blessing. Father, would you help me tonight? I am trying to be brief for the sake of everyone's safety. I don't care a whit about the game, to be honest with you, Lord, but I do want to make sure everybody gets home safely, and I want to be cognizant of that. But at the same time, Lord, help me to be sensitive to the leadership of your Spirit and to cover what needs to be covered, to leave alone what doesn't, and just help me to please you in that regard. Lord, may Christ be lifted up tonight. Help me to rightly divide your word of truth, for it's in Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. Now, in a general rule, when we're talking about building yourself up as a Christian, understand this. Obedience to God always carries with it a building. If you obey God, that in and of itself is going to build you. But if you fail to obey God, that in and of itself is going to cause you to regress. You build, you grow. You obey, you grow. You disobey, you recede. We see this especially in the matter of discernment. Have you ever seen a ministry, or perhaps a preacher or a Christian, that just compromised on some things, and then over time they began to compromise again and again and again? Next thing you know, they've just receded all the way back to the point of really the beginning of their faith. And that's unfortunate. But when you obey, it is naturally, from a spiritual standpoint, going to build you. It's going to build you. So let's look at personal construction. This idea of obedience to God always builds up a Christian personally. We're in Matthew chapter 13. Look at verse 12. Matthew 13, verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. This is part of what we put together to form what we call the principle of added light. When you respond in obedience to what God gives you, he gives you more. That starts in the matter of salvation. I am convinced from the Word of God that if there's somebody out there who wants to know the Savior, and they respond to the light that God gives them, and where's the initial light that God gives us to prove his existence? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So that kid in the rainforest looking through the canopy of trees and looking to the stars, and he's responded to that general revelation. I don't know who you are, but I want to know you. He's responded to that light, and God will give him more light. And as he responds to that light in obedience, God will give him more light. And before long, he's responded to the point that God's going to send somebody to that boy, that girl, whoever it is, to reach them with the gospel. I don't believe there's anybody out there that goes to hell that didn't have an opportunity if they wanted it. A lot of people go to hell because they didn't want it. They didn't want to know God. They didn't want to serve him. They didn't want to realize who he is. So that principle of added light. And when you obey, whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. So let's look at some areas of personal construction, things that will build you, that will build me as a Christian. Number one, Bible reading and study. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That verse in and of itself tells us that it's important that we study God's word. By the way, that word study has the idea of deliberate hard work. I know some people talk about, you know, I just flip open my Bible and wherever it falls to, that's the word the Lord has for me. I think we ought to be more systematic than that. I mean, God can use that, but I think we ought to be more systematic, and we ought to get out our tools and start mining the Word of God and digging for those gems. You say, what's that got to do with building ourselves up? I mean, we understand we're supposed to serve, we're supposed to study the Word of God, but what does that have to do with building ourselves up? Listen to this, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. How do you establish yourself in the faith? Where do you get the information you need to establish yourself in the faith? This book. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. All through Scripture, what do we see as the antithesis of the tradition of men? The commandments of God. So what I take from that passage is, if I want to build myself up in my faith, I don't do it through the traditions of men, I do it through the Word of God. Studying God's Word builds us. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Now, let's stop there for a second. Paul is speaking to the early church, and it's interesting to me. This matter of tongues, it did exist in the early church. But what's interesting to me, relatively speaking, it is mentioned very little in the book of Acts. And when you go through the epistles and you arrange them chronologically, you find that the use of tongues and other what we call sign gifts gets lesser and lesser and lesser throughout that time period. Why? Because as more as the Bible is completed, the need for sign gifts is less. See? And Paul, the Corinthian church, one of the problems they were having is they were misusing spiritual gifts, in particular the gift of tongues. Now, I must hasten to tell you this, the gift of tongues is not an unknown heavenly babbling language. They were literal dialects. I take the position that the miracle of tongues on Pentecost was in the hearing, not in the speaking. But the fact is, I say this lovingly and respectfully, if tongues are still in play today, then why do charismatic missionaries go to language school? Seems to me God would just give them the language. That's not how it works these days. So they have a problem with spiritual gifts, and in particular tongues. And Paul says, follow after charity. Love governs everything. And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. What is prophesy? That means the forthtelling of the word of God. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the... By the way, God also gives through Paul some instructions. Can I tell you something that might shock you? I would be 100% in favor of the use of tongues in this church. If we could manage to fulfill the 14 or so requirements in the Bible to have them. Not the least of which is there's got to be an interpreter. Isn't it amazing in all these times you see it on TV or somewhere when people fire off in tongues, nobody there's telling you what they're saying. It's kind of a big part of this. I'm not trying to be unkind to people that believe in that. Let me make this very clear. There are people that embrace the sign gifts that love the Lord, and they are completely and totally in love with him, and they are serving him, and they're doing that. I'm not trying to be unkind to them. I'm just saying we understand the scriptures to teach that the Holy Scriptures outweigh the sign gifts. And we look to them for our credibility. We look to them for our truth. And Paul is saying, you're messing up how you're using these sign gifts. I would much rather you be all about proclaiming the word of God. Why? Verse number two, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification. Tongues don't build anybody up, but the word of God does. So Bible reading and Bible study will build up a Christian. Number two, our prayer life. Our prayer life. And when we talk about building up and we talk about edifying, does that sound like addition or subtraction? Sounds like addition, doesn't it? As it does to me. Well, what do we see in Matthew 7, verse 7? Ask, and it shall be taken from you. Seek, and ye shall lose. Knock, and it shall be shut unto you. No. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. What is that doing? That's building you up. When you pray, when you ask, when you seek, when you knock, you are being built. You are being added unto. You're being edified. Listen to Jude, verse 17. I always hesitate because I want to say Jude 1. But there is no Jude 1. There's Jude. Bless you. Verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Now listen to this. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How do you do that? Keep reading. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You build yourself up through prayer. Through prayer. Let me hasten on. Number three, we construct ourselves personally. We build ourselves up through Bible reading and study, through our prayer life, and through our witness to others. You know Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now, let's use a little bit of sanctified deduction here. To teach others implies that we possess information with which to teach, right? Okay. If Miss Westich here is teaching piano, that would imply that she has knowledge about how to play the piano that she can impart to somebody else. I would do very little good teaching somebody how to play the piano, because apart from chopsticks and heart and soul, that's about all I can play on the piano. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm really good at heart and soul, but that's about it. That's about it. It's assumed that we know some things. Well, what does that then assume? That assumes that we've been taught and we've built ourselves up in the things of God, that we know some things that we can teach. Have you ever had somebody, maybe you've witnessed this, maybe you've been this person from time to time, have you ever had somebody try to teach somebody else and it was pretty evident that they didn't know what they were doing to begin with? You know? You ever seen some coaches take over programs? And it's pretty evident they didn't know anything either. And the team suffered because of it, didn't it? Because they never got built up themselves. They never got built up themselves. Well, if I'm witnessing to others, if I'm telling people others about the things of God, that implies that I've been built up myself in those matters. And the more we witness to people, the more information we're gathering to be an effective witness to others. As a pastor, I started off just being able to give people the gospel, and that's the most important thing. But after 17 years of doing this as a pastor, I have collected more information to try and help people than when I first started. That's the natural order of things. I should know more now than I did when I began. I've built myself up because I have some in my family. I've taught myself some things about Mormonism. Why? Because I want to be an effective witness to those dear folks. I've interacted with a lot of Catholics, and I know a good bit about Roman Catholicism. Why? Because I've tried to build myself up. And in witnessing to others, by necessity, I have to teach myself. In fact, the Bible commands it. 1 Peter 3:15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man." That means be ready to give an answer to the religious person, to the atheist, to the agnostic. Be ready to give an answer to anybody, and if you're going to do that, you better know your stuff. "To every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So if we're going to build ourselves up, if we're going to have personal construction, it involves Bible reading and study, it involves a prayer life, it involves our witness to others, then it involves church involvement. Now I realize I'm speaking on a Sunday night in which we're missing a lot of people. I take for granted that a lot of folks are sick. I know that. This time of year, that's always true, and this year it seems to be especially true. And I realize some people, the weather is playing a role in this. I hope with everything in me the Super Bowl isn't, but you know what? That's between them and God. I didn't think we had any Philadelphia or Kansas City fans, but you know, we'll see. Who am I pulling for? I don't care. I really don't. But there's a lot of people missing. But you know as well as I do that there are people all across America, all across the world, that they missed church today and they didn't have a good reason. Online church has been a double-edged sword, hasn't it? On the one hand, it's a great, great blessing to people that cannot be at church. But it has been a really bad hindrance to people who will not be at church. As much as I appreciate online options. As much as I appreciate that, it is no substitute for gathering in the house of God, because gathering with other believers can build you in a way that sitting at home cannot. It just can't. And I'm not doing my job. I'm not being a good pastor if I don't say that truth. You need to be here. And I'm thankful that you are. And I know many would be if they could. We need to be here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. One of the great tragedies of using that passage for church attendance is we leave out verse 24. Verse 24 is why we do it. And it has the idea of building one another up. Look at this. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Does that sound like a building to you? It does to me. We're building each other. I'm a better Christian for having been at church physically. I'm built up by being here. I'm encouraged by being here. I'm helped by being here in a way that I never could at home. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 11, it's speaking in a local church context. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So these are gifts from God. Apostles were gifts from God. Prophets, gifts from God. Evangelists, gifts from God. At risk of being self-serving, it's what the Bible says. Pastors, gifts from God. Now, some would argue it's a white elephant gift, but still. Pastors and teachers. And I take that to be one and the same person, but you could certainly apply. There's a lot of teachers that have been given to God, given to the church as well. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Who's the body of Christ? You are, and I am. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Can I just tell you what that means? Being in church builds the people of God. The next one I'm going to spend the least amount of time on for a couple of reasons. One, we need to go. Two, you know how I feel about preaching this one. Giving. Giving builds you. Once again, building would imply addition and not subtraction, right? What did Jesus say in Luke 6:38? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. What are we missing when we don't give? We're missing that addition into our life. We're missing that building. Then the last one. If we're going to build ourselves, personal construction, Bible reading and study, prayer life, witness to others, church involvement, giving, and then finally personal holiness. 1 Peter 1, verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. So we know we're to be holy. We know we're to be like Jesus. That's our goal. But how does that build us? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we're talking about holy living. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So Paul has just expanded on this idea of holy living, and he's given us ways that we can do that. Now listen to this. Let no corruption proceed, corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let me give you a simple verse to sum this up. In fact, this sums up all of it. Bible reading and study, prayer life, witness to others, church involvement, giving, personal holiness. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. I want you to see it. Matthew chapter 6. How does Bible reading and prayer, Bible reading and study and prayer life and witness to others and church involvement and giving and personal holiness, how does this build us? Jesus summed it up beautifully in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Would all these things fall under seeking the kingdom of God? I believe so. Seek ye first Bible reading and prayer life and witnessing and church involvement and giving and personal holiness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and what? All these things shall be added unto you. It'll build you up. It'll build you up. Man, I want to build a family life center. I want to build a new sanctuary. I want to build a new classroom space for our school and for our Sunday school. I want to build ministries. I love our choir. I want to see it get bigger. I want to see a huge ladies group. I want to build a men's group. We joke about the whole pajamas, pizza, and pistols and all that, but we are working on something where we get to go shoot some stuff. Hallelujah. Andy, get your gun. I want to build all those things. But we can't do any of that until we first embark upon the very real, this is so what, by the way, the very real need to build ourselves. Do you know why America isn't moving forward? Because no matter who we get in the White House and who we get in Congress and who we get on the Supreme Court, while that is consequential and we should be concerned with that, America is ultimately not going to move forward until individual Americans start building themselves. First and foremost, spiritually. Then you'll see something happening. May God help us to build ourselves.